foe to dance and loot. As to the former, I agree. But we of the colony of Lycos, one of the first colonies under Mars's surface, are a people of dance and song, and family. We spit on that legend, and make our own birthright. It is the one resistance we can manage against the society that rules us, gives us a bit of spine. They don't care that we dance or that we sing, so long as we obediently dig, so long as we prepare the planet for the rest of them. Yet to remind us of our place, they make one song and one dance, punishable by death. My father made that dance his last. I've seen it only once, and I've heard the song only once as well. I didn't understand when I was little. One about distant vales, mist, lovers lost, and a reaper meant to guide us to our unseen home. I was small and curious when the woman sang it, as her son was hanged for stealing foodstuffs. He would have been a tall boy, but he could never get enough food to put meat on his bones. His mother died next. The people of Lycos did the fading dirge for them, a tragic thumping of fists against chests, fading slowly, slowly, till the fists, like her heart, beat no more, and all dispersed. The sound haunted me that night. I cried alone in our small kitchen, wondering why I cried then when I had not for my father. As I lay on the cold floor, I heard a soft scratching at my family's door. When I opened the door, I found a small hemanthus bud nestled in the red dirt. Not a soul to be seen, only Io's tiny footprints in the dirt. That is the second time she brought flowers after death. Since song and dance are in our blood, I suppose it's not surprising that it was in both that I first realized I loved Io. Not little Io, not as she was, but Io as she is. She says she loved me before they hanged my father, but it was in a smoky tavern when her rusty hair swirled and her feet moved with the zither and her hips to the drums that my heart forgot a couple of beats. It was not her flips or cartwheels, none of the boastful foolery that so marks the dance of the young. Hers was a graceful, proud movement. Without me, she would not eat. Without her, I would not live. She may tease me for saying so, but she is the spirit of our people. Life's dealt us a hard hand. We're to sacrifice for the good of men and women we don't know. We're to dig to ready Mars for others. That makes some of us nasty-minded folks. But Io's kindness, her laughter, her fierce will, is the best that can come from a home such as ours. I look for her in my family's offshoot township, just a half mile's worth of tunnel road away from the common. The township is one of 24 townships surrounding the common. It is a hive-like cluster of homes carved into the rock walls of the old mines. Stone and earth are our ceilings, our floors, our home. The clan is a giant family. Io grew up not a stone's throw from my house. Her brothers are like my own. Her father, like the one I lost. A mess of electrical wires tangled together along the cavern's ceiling like a jungle of black and red vines. Lights hang down from the jungle, swaying gently as air from the common central oxygen system circulates. At the center of the township dangles a massive hollow can. It's a square box, with images on each side. Pixels are blacked out and the image is faded and fuzzy, but never has the thing faltered, never has it turned off. It bathes our cluster of homes in its own pale light. Videos from the society. My family's home is carved into the rock 100 meters from the bottom floor of the township. A steep path leads from it to the ground, though pulleys and ropes can also bear one to the township's greatest heights. Only the old or infirm use those, and we have few of either. Our house has few rooms. Eo and I only recently were able to take a room for ourselves. Kieran and his family have two rooms, and my mother and sister share the other. All Lambdas in Lycos live in our township. Omega and Upsilon neighbour us just a minute's worth of wide tunnel over to either side. We're all connected, except for Gamma. They live in the common, above the taverns, repair booths, silk shops and trade bazaars. The tin pots live in a fortress above that, nearer the barren surface of our harsh world. That's where the ports lie that bring the foodstuffs from Earth to us marooned pioneers. The holocan above me shows images of mankind's struggles, which are then followed by soaring music as the society's triumphs flash past. The society's sigil, a golden pyramid with three parallel bars attached to the pyramid's three faces, a circle surrounding all, burns into the screen. The voice of Octavia Auloon, the society's aged sovereign, narrates the struggle man faces in colonizing the planets and moons of the system. Since the dawn of man, our saga as a species has been one of tribal warfare. It has been one of trial, one of sacrifice, one of daring to defy nature's natural limits. Now, through duty and obedience, we are united, but our struggle is no different. Sons and daughters of all colors, we are asked to sacrifice yet again. Here, in our finest hour, we cast our best seeds to the stars. Where first shall we flourish? Venus? Mercury? Mars? The moons of Neptune? Jupiter? Her voice grows solemn as her ageless face with its regal cast peers down from the HC. Her hands shimmer with the symbol of gold emblazoned upon their backs, a dot in the center of a winged circle. Gold wings mark the sides of her forearms. Only one imperfection mars her golden face. A long crescent scar running along her right cheekbone. Her beauty is like that of a cruel bird of prey. You brave red pioneers of Mars, strongest of the human breed, sacrifice for progress,